This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Mikan Scott. Aching backs, tight shoulders, stiff necks, such are the plagues of modern humans who spend so much of their time hunched over desks and computers. And some people are spending big bucks to learn better body alignment. There's the Feldenkrais method, there's the Alexander technique. Movement re-education promises to release tension and make you more mindful of your posture. For this edition of our segment, Lab Rat, reporter Tanya English tried out the Goclay method. Trainers teach students to use their muscles differently to sit, stand, and walk. Let's see how Tanya did.
I start out by complaining to movement teacher Roberta Cooks. My back doesn't hurt really, but I worry about what my long commute is doing to my health. I'm in the car, then I sit on an Amtrak train for an hour and 40 minutes. And finally head to the subway, carrying a laptop and 13 pounds of recording equipment.
I get to Philadelphia and I go down the steps with my big bag and my purse and sometimes an overnight bag. And I'm just always adjusting these bags on my back.
Yes. So, I mean, one thing is to think about is how much do you have to take, right?
Cooks is a psychiatrist by training, but she now teaches Goclay full time. After listening patiently for a bit, she takes a few pictures of me with her phone.
Here is you standing up. That's a sway in the middle of your back.
The human spine is shaped like an S. That's just normal anatomy. But Goclay practitioners say that despite that S curve, for thousands of years, humans held our bodies differently, with a much straighter back. Cook says modern Western people have lost that primal posture.
If you look at old photographs before 1920, people, you think of your ancestors from that time, you probably look at those photos and think, those people look so stiff. But actually, they were showing good posture. That's how they were. They weren't doing it just for the camera.
Today, it's our habit to hunch and slouch through life.
Coco Chanel made it fashionable to slump. Think of her with a cigarette and sort of in this magnified S curve.
She says the lesson begins with proper shoulder position. So I shove mine back, stiff like a soldier. But that's wrong.
When you pull them back, what are you using to hold them there?
My upper back muscles.
Your upper back muscles. And what happens if you keep holding them there for a long time?
There's going to be a pain in my upper back
muscles.
Exactly.
And then what happens if you forget about it? They go right back where they were, right?
A shoulder roll is a kinder way to open the chest and avoid pinching the nerves and blood vessels that send oxygen and nutrients down the arms.
So we're doing it one shoulder at a time, a little forward, a little up, a lot back, and a lot down, and then just relax. Okay.
The right shoulder first, and then the left.
A little forward?
A little forward, a little up, a lot back, and rotate and down.
Cook says the Goclay method is preventive medicine for all sorts of aches and pains.
Things like repetitive stress injuries and carpal tunnel syndrome and things going on with your elbow.
She also believes in the psychological benefits of something called power posing.
When you have your shoulders back, you are actually making less cortisol, less stress hormone, and more testosterone. You end up feeling calmer and more confident just by having your shoulders back.
A psychologist at Harvard University uncovered that general link between posture and biochemistry. But so far, there's no gold standard research on the health effects of the Goclay method. But even without evidence, I'm willing to try.
Good. Supported and a little bit stretched, maybe.
Cooks places a small beanbag on the top of my head, and instinctively, I push up against it and lengthen the back of my neck.
Does that feel okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With my ribs tucked, my back seems broader. I'm breathing deeply and sitting straighter.
So there it is. Yes.
Cooks guides me to keep my back straight and pivot forward at the waist.
But just move from the hips.
Hinge.
Hinge is exactly right. And that's actually the way I want you to always bend from now on. Not bend from your neck, not curve your back, but always make every bend a hinge, or you could say every bend is a bow.
Next, she gets me up to try glide walking.
Bum-ba-dum.
The whole movement begins with the muscles in my upper glutes.
Push off, push off. You know, in graduation or the wedding march, you go, you push off and then your legs stay together for a moment. There's a pause. Think of people in these non-industrialized countries. They're often walking like 30 miles or something back, and they have stuff on their head and a baby on their back, and It's just amazing. But because they do this walk and have a rest in each step, it also gives them this amazing endurance and also ability to sort of feel relaxed in the walk. Good, good. Do you feel it, Tanya?
I'm not so sure that it's actually preventive medicine or that I'd pay $75 for a class, but I do feel it.
And you're beautiful and regal and confident.
Okay. After all that positive reinforcement, a week later, I'm still doing shoulder rolls on my commute to work, stretching my neck tall, and making little adjustments throughout the day. I do feel lighter, but maybe it's just because I finally cleaned out my equipment bag and dumped the stuff I didn't need. For The Pulse, I'm Tanya English.
I'm rolling my shoulders back right now, but there's always that pesky too-good-to-be-true issue. Did our ancestors or other cultures really have better posture and less back pain? We called up Bruce Latimer. He is an anatomy professor at Case Western Reserve University in Cleveland, and he studies fossils to understand how humans evolved to walk the way they do.
So it's a long-standing problem, and that's to make a pun there. And it can't be solved by simply saying, you know, stand with a different posture. That isn't going to work. I've looked at a lot of pre-contact American native skeletons, and arthritis in the spine is everywhere. It's not as though they had no back pain.
He says bad posture is not the big problem, but he calls the S-curve in our back a mechanical nightmare. Imagine the vertebrae and discs are 24 porcelain cups and saucers, jerry-rigged on top of each other, and then try to balance your big, heavy head on top.
That's what evolution has done to the human spine.
Of course, evolution also enables us to walk around upright and balanced, so I suppose back pain and herniated discs are downsides we have to deal with, one shoulder roll at a time. The quest to avoid the many health perils of modern life has brought some office dwellers to the standing desk, because we've all heard how sitting is poison, right? Recent research has linked sitting too much with heart problems, diabetes, even increased cancer risk. But here's the thing. Standing desks come with problems of their own. Anna Medeiros-Miller is joining us now. She's a health and wellness reporter for U.S. News and World Report, and she's been following standing desks for some time. Anna, thank you so much for being on The Pulse.
Thanks for inviting me.
What are some mistakes people are making while using standing desks?
So standing desks have a lot of potential, but you have to use them correctly to be able to reap the benefits. So one of the problems is if you trade sitting all day for simply standing all day, really the issue is that you're not moving, and the risks associated with that are not necessarily the same, but they could be equally as bad for you.
What about posture? Are we doing any better just because we're standing up, or are we perhaps hurting our backs?
It could go either way. So if you're very cognizant of your posture and you're standing up straight and you have your shoulders back and you're not leaning to one side or the other, then you might be doing your body some favors. But how many of us do that? The same way that when we're sitting, how many of us use a very healthy posture. So if you don't have your desk adjusted properly, you're going to set yourself up for a whole new host of problems. So you might have a certain pain or kink when you're sitting in the one position. Well, you're just going to have a new pain or kink if you stand in a position that's not correct. So you really need to make sure you have adjusted your desk to the appropriate height for you, and not all of the desks have that kind of capability where there's a lot of flexibility. One person I talked to suggested that maybe you stand up when you're talking on the phone or having a meeting, or some way that you can incorporate standing, or better yet, walking into your workflow that doesn't necessarily still involve you staring at the computer and craning your neck.
A lot of people get standing desks because we've been told that standing burns more calories. So it seems like, ooh, I can be at work and lose weight at the same time. Mm. Is that really true?
It is true. Standing does burn about 20% more calories than sitting, but it's probably not the best reason to get a standing desk. If you're standing, you are going to get tired more quickly. So, you know, I always think about the other professions that do have to stand all day. So you think about medical professionals or people in retail or in the restaurant business, and they look at those of us with desk jobs getting standing desks as crazy because they're trying to find any time that they can get to take a load off and sit down. So if there's some way that we can kind of find a balance so that we're not straining our body too much in any one position, and it's probably better yet to just go out, take a walk, maybe for 20 minutes in the afternoon if you can. Maybe I talked to one guy who does squats while he is waiting for his lunch to microwave. So there's a lot of other ways you can incorporate movement into your workday that will probably burn those calories a lot faster and more successfully than slowly over the course of the day if you're simply standing.
What about your feet? I'm wondering, if you're standing all day long, doesn't that spell foot pain and swollen feet at the end of the day?
Yeah, it can. I think it's also really important, especially for women, to remember that if you're going to go for the standing desk, then make sure that you have appropriate footwear. You can really hurt your feet and, in effect, hurt your back, your hips, your whole alignment can get off if you are not wearing the appropriate footwear. And a lot of women, if they're going to work, are going to want to wear heels or want to wear some nice footwear that is a lot more comfortable to be sitting down in. So what you can do is maybe have a pair of shoes that's comfortable, flat, has a lot of support, even sneakers, if you don't mind how they look, to change into once you get to work. Or if you're lucky enough to work in an environment that encourages that all day, then go for it.
What about the desk itself? I've been seeing a lot of do-it-yourself models that are cobbled together from different IKEA items. And then there are really expensive standing desks that can cost a couple of $1,000s. Have you learned anything about the models and what we should be looking for?
You know, I don't think it's actually such a bad idea to go for the cheap ones. What I do sometimes is find a bookshelf and just prop my computer up on the shelf that fits my laptop, that fits well with my stance, and do that for maybe a half hour and then move my laptop down to my desk. And that kind of makeshift situation can at least help you understand whether or not this is something you want to invest in.
And generally speaking, it sounds like from what you've learned in your reporting, a mixed approach seems the most reasonable. Standing sometimes, sitting sometimes, walking around when you can.
Right. I think it's important to remember that we talk about sedentary behavior being really terrible for us. And that's true. But somehow in the message, it's gotten a little bit switched to sedentary behavior equaling sitting. And there's a lot of things that we can do that are sedentary that aren't necessarily sitting, whether it's laying down on the couch or standing in a still behavior. So the standing desk isn't necessarily the end-all, be-all.
Anna, thank you so much.
Thank you.